You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Tales of the Resistance, where we bring you stories of defiance and rebellion, little glimmers of hope in overwhelming times. I'm Amber Hunt. Let's dive in. More than 15,000 people in Utah, one of the reddest states in the country, attended an event last weekend featuring progressive Democrats Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The rally was a leg of the Fighting the Oligarchy tour, during which Sanders has pointed out that at Trump's inauguration, the three richest people in the world sat behind the president. That's Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg. Here's some sound from Utah's event.
Thank you, Utah!
Reminder, this is Utah, where Trump beat then-Vice President Kamala Harris by more than 20 percentage points. And on top of that, this is an off year for elections. This kind of turnout is huge. The arena at the University of Utah sat about 15,000 and was nearly full. Plus, there was an overflow space with another 4,000 people watching. At points in the event, the crowd broke out into chants of Bernie and tax the rich. The Utah rally wasn't the only Fighting the Oligarchy event. It was arguably just the reddest. Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez also spoke at a rally of some 36,000 people in downtown L.A., where Joan Baez sang,
"Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around."
And Bernie said this,
"We're living at a moment where a handful of billionaires control the economic and political life of our country. We're living in a moment with a president who has no understanding or respect for the Constitution of the United States."
Harvard University took a stand Monday and rejected a series of demands from the Trump administration that included dropping diversity, equity, and inclusion measures and punishing student protesters. In a strongly worded letter, Harvard accused the administration of trying to, quote, "invade university freedoms long recognized by the Supreme Court, The university will not surrender its independence or relinquish its constitutional rights. Neither Harvard nor any other private university can allow itself to be taken over by the federal government," end quote. Now, this was in response to administrative demands to audit the viewpoints of its student body, faculty, and staff, and reduce the quote-unquote power of people whose viewpoints the administration does not agree with. This is Harvard Law School's Andrew Manuel Crespo speaking to CNN.
"It's so important for Harvard and really every university in the country to take a stand at this critical moment, because this is a clear, unquestionable violation of First Amendment rights."
Trump responded to Harvard by immediately freezing $2.3 billion in federal funding that had been earmarked for the Ivy League institution, largely by way of grants. If you rely on, say, Fox News, which you should not, you'll hear the government saying this is all about ensuring anti-Semitism is eradicated from Harvard's campus, but that's the label the administration has slapped on everyone and every place involved in protests against the war in Gaza. Crespo said the financial clapback was expected and is, of course, a blow.
"The impacts of those cuts will be severe, not just to cutting-edge research, cures for cancer, cures for diseases, studies that try to understand the most cutting-edge technology, but also all of the work that happens at these universities with respect to how we study our history, the things that are essential to our democracy."
But he said Harvard is not backing down. This brief comes courtesy of my partner, Scott Wardman, who covers city politics for the Cincinnati Inquirer. The Cincinnati City Council has a message for federal workers laid off by the so-called Department of Government Efficiency. Come work for us. Councilman Mark Jeffries recently introduced a resolution opposing the federal government cuts, which was supported 9-0 by the all-Democratic council.
Whereas the city recognizes the invaluable contributions of our federal workers and stands ready to assist impacted employees by connecting them with job opportunities within the city's workforce and affiliated partners. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council City of the Cincinnati, State of Ohio, that the mayor of this council firmly oppose recent federal policies that result in mass layoffs, arbitrary workforce reductions, and the privatization or dismantling of critical public agencies, actions which destabilize families, harm local economies, and erode public trust in government. That the city of Cincinnati extends its deepest appreciation to all federal employees who serve our nation with integrity, diligence, and professionalism, and reaffirms its support for their continued employment and service within our community.
Jeffries said the move was meant to exert a little control over something.
We can't control what is happening in D.C. We can, at minimum, express our deep concern and outrage over it with this resolution and support for all the federal workers locally.
City Manager Cheryl Long said the city especially needs analysts and engineers, but would post all open positions on forums for federal workers, as well as through the social networking site LinkedIn. Maryland protesters gathered last weekend in support of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, a father and steelworker who was shipped to an El Salvador prison after ICE agents arrested him without a warrant. Garcia's case has made international news because while he entered the U.S. illegally as a teenager and while his request for asylum was denied, the judge overseeing that request granted him withholding of removal status in 2019. That meant he wasn't supposed to be deported to El Salvador specifically due to the threat that gangs could pose to him. The judge found Garcia was, quote, more likely than not to be harmed if he was returned to El Salvador, end quote. Garcia had been granted a work permit that allowed him to live and work legally in Maryland ever since. Garcia's lawyer said his only encounters with law enforcement in the intervening years were his annual required check-ins with ICE. Since his arrest, the government has alleged he has gang ties, but has proffered no evidence to support this. The government also acknowledged Garcia wasn't supposed to be sent to El Salvador, but claimed it happened anyway because of an alleged administrative error. One protester told CBS News,
"When a government starts to target a specific group, it's only a matter of time before they'll target additional groups. We're seeing civil rights be eroded. We're seeing people be dehumanized, villainized, and it's not right."
The Supreme Court of the United States ruled unanimously earlier this month that the Department of Justice must work to get Garcia returned to the U.S. As of this recording, the DOJ hasn't done a thing and, in fact, has adamantly said it's not required to. Garcia supporters aren't giving up hope, however. Faith leaders, immigrant rights advocates, and Prince George's County community members gathered outside the White House to hold an interfaith prayer vigil to call on Trump to bring the man home. Outside of a little cafe in Providence, Rhode Island on Monday stood a sandwich board with a message. It read, quote, "The first step in liquidating a people is to erase its memory, destroy its books, its culture, its history," end quote. That's a quote from the late Milan Kundera, a Czech and French novelist whose best-known work is The Unbearable Lightness of Being. This isn't a big protest or act of resistance. It's a little bitty one, spotted by Daisy Egan as she boarded an Amtrak train to New York. And it mattered. Also noted on the sandwich board, the day's soup was chicken noodle. Another round of nationwide protests is set to happen Saturday, April 19th. Newsweek reports that the 5051 group is promoting nationwide protests in all 50 states. Their hope is to get 3.5% of the U.S. population, which translates to more than 11 million people, to participate. They say that ambitious goal is the threshold needed for, quote, sustained resistance in order to make a difference, end quote. 5051 was one of dozens of groups that participated in the April 5th hands-off protests, which drew millions of people to protests across the world. The group announced Saturday's events just after Senate Republicans approved Trump's tax and spending cut framework. 5051, by the way, stands for 50 protests, 50 states, one movement. This has been Tales of the Resistance, a production of Grab Bag Collab. The show's reported and edited by Amanda Rossman and me. Amanda produces the show. Daisy Egan sometimes chimes in. Support Grab Bag Collab at patreon.com/grabbagcollab.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.